Hello there, I'm Miranda Gretton, and this is Take a Moment with NCHC, the show where we talk to you and your colleagues about experiences that affect you. Listen on your drive between patients or in your downtime, whenever you get the chance to take a moment.
Hi, I'm Andrea. I'm a community learning disability nurse, newly qualified. I work for the city team in County Hall.
So you've come on today to talk about a subject that I don't think many people will be aware of, and that is preceptorship. So Andrea, can you tell me a bit about what preceptorship actually is?
So preceptorship is a programme that I've been given a workbook to go through as a guide of what I need to do to keep me on target. And I'll put learning opportunities, learning outcomes, my learning needs, and then I'll go and work towards that during the first 6 to 12 months of my new post with NCHC, which actually helps me to find out other people's learning roles. So like a social workers, occupational therapists, physiotherapy, people in our team, so we can all work together and support each other.
So how is this different to if you get a job and you start working?
So for me, being newly qualified, this is like a transition from student to nurse. So I'm not just thrown in the deep end. I have protected time to work on this. I have the knowledge and skills, but I'm not expected to panic and stress and get nervous. So I've got the time, I've got the support. I also get a preceptor who supervises me and guides me and signposts me. If I get stuck, I can go and ask questions, and I can just feel secure in my job because of the preceptorship program.
It's, like you said, a transition between being a student and being in that environment of education and then coming into the work environment, the community healthcare environment, which I guess you won't have seen that much prior to starting.
Yeah, so we had placements at university, but with COVID as well, our learning opportunities, they were great. I had great experience, but I ended up in the same placement 3 times because of COVID restrictions. So to actually have this protected time as a preceptorship actually really, really works for me, particularly because I have the time to research things. I have the time to read, and I've got the support from my team who've all been really supportive, actually, really, really good.
That's amazing. And so your line manager, the team that you're in at the minute, is your line manager your preceptor, or is it a separate sort of department that deals with that?
My preceptor is the lead nurse in my team, which is great because she obviously understands that I'm just new at this and there's so much to learn. And she's really good at not overloading me. She's really good at making sure that my learning balance and work balance, both of them, are working at a nice level so I don't feel overwhelmed.
So you get the protected time to kind of do your learning opportunities and stuff. And that is something that's very different. If you start in a new job, a lot of the time you hit the ground running, don't you? Is it that you can literally just say, right, I want a little bit more knowledge about that because it will help me in this role, and then go off and do some shadowing and that kind of thing? Is that how it works?
Yeah, so it does. But I have a monthly preceptorship meeting with my preceptor, and we will discuss in that meeting once a month what my learning outcomes are, if I'm achieving what my goals were from the previous month. If not, it's up to 12 months for me as a newly qualified nurse, my preceptorship. So I have the time. So if I can't get the shadowing opportunity in the first month, second month, I can then proceed up to the year. And so I've got the time to shadow and get to learn other people. Some of my objectives are to read about the Care Act and the Mental Capacity Act and things like that.
Freeing up time to do those really important kind of fundamental bits that maybe get pushed to one side when you're treating patients because you don't have time to do them. So having that protected time would only help you in your development. When you said about it allows you to not feel overloaded or overwhelmed by what you're doing, and I think it's that's such a positive of this. Do you think it will have an impact on staff retention that we might get people in who, if they didn't have the preceptorship and they weren't as well supported, they might get overwhelmed and think, oh, do you know what, I'm not going to do this, and they might leave? Do you think the preceptorship helps with encouraging people to stay?
Yes. Yeah, so for me, I love my job. I love the way I've been integrated into the team. And because I've got the preceptorship, on a Monday, every Monday now, I'll work on my preceptorship. But for me, having the support, having that protective time, whenever someone says, oh, there's a band five job going, I just think, I've only just got this job. I don't want to look at other jobs. So I love my job. I don't plan on leaving. That could all change in 2 years' time or whenever. But at the moment, I feel really privileged to have got a learning disability community job as my first role as a nurse. So, and it's not just my team, other teams as well. They understand I'm under preceptorship, and they're also supportive. If you need anything, there's always someone that will show you or tell, signpost you where to go for your learning. And yeah, it's good.
Why is it so important that we have a programme like this?
So for me, I feel that there's so much to learn when you start a new job. And then to do something like nursing, there is so many policies, procedures to read, and there's also like the system, learning the new system, and then there's remembering what you've learned. So to have this, to have the structure of a preceptorship workbook to be able to follow, to ensure that when you feel lost, you can just go back to that and read it, keeps you in place. And having the support from my preceptor is just amazing. So for me, I feel that I'm not feeling rushed, so then I'm not making mistakes. I'm not feeling pressured. I can actually take the time to read up on my caseload, ensure that I'm considering everything that's needed, all the assessments that I need to do. It is actually a really hard job to do. But again, I like the challenge. I like supporting people. I like person-centered care, and I like having time to actually build a professional relationship with the clients.
Tell me about your journey then, Andrea. What made you want to go into learning disabilities?
So I never heard of learning disability nursing, although I had a son who was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome at 8 years old. So what happened, I was on an access course. I applied for University of Suffolk for radiography. But then a friend approached me. She'd been to the UEA open day, and she came up to me and she said, have you thought about being a learning disability nurse? And I said, I don't want to be a nurse. I don't want to work on a ward. She went, no, it's not like that. So then she explained it to me. And then as I was driving home, I was like, well, she took the time to tell me, I better have a look. And that was it. I was just absolutely hooked. And then my first day of university, I knew I was in the right place.
That's amazing. What a journey. And how is being an LD nurse now? How does that help you with your son? Has it influenced kind of anything that you do with him?
He's got a job actually working in Launchpad for children with learning disability as well as a teaching assistant. So I'm really, really proud of him. But yeah, so he's sort of following similar structures as I am. So when I'm talking to him in a different way, he knows what I'm doing. he understands. But yeah, I do. Our relationship is different. I mean, he has trouble with emotions, but he has had education where he's learned emotions. So he knows when I'm happy, when I'm not happy. And he's always asking how I am and gives me a hug. But yeah, it's lovely. Learning disability nursing does change the way I speak to him. But again, he's probably got those answers already prepared.
I love that there's a link, though, between your profession and your home life, because I think, you know, so often we try and leave our job at the door. And actually, it's really nice to hear sometimes that you don't want to, that, you know, you love your job and you know, your son has a learning disability and it's your worlds are linked. And actually, that's great.
Everyone told me he wouldn't be able to go to university, he wouldn't be able to hold a job down. He's done both of those. I couldn't be more proud of him, but I'm sort of like, sometimes when we have conversation, we're talking about learning disability, I do think, does he know more than me? You know, even though I've done the 3-year degree and he hasn't, but you do sort of go, oh, does he know more than me? Is he learning a different path? Because with learning disability nursing as well, it really depends on what clients, what caseload you've got. So it can take you down a completely different path to somebody else who's on preceptorship as well. They'll be learning one thing, I'll be learning another thing. And yet that's when all that supervision and support is really welcomed, because I might come across something I've never seen before. Then I can speak to somebody and say, do you know anything about this? And then that sort of support me. I found out during university that I've got ADHD, which answers why I talk like this, all excited, all bubbly. And they sort of do a 2-hour assessment an hour assessment for a rough assessment just to see. And then they said, yep, ADHD, dyslexia, dyspraxia. So I was like, yeah, so that's how I got diagnosed. I knew about dyspraxia. I didn't really know I had it, but I knew I walked into things, fall over and things like that. So I've got no coordination. But with ADHD, I think that's the one that was the shocker, really, and the dyslexia. But at first I was like, no, that's not true. They got that wrong. Surely they got that wrong. But they hadn't. I noticed things a lot now.
Like what?
So when I'm writing, although I can spell fine, I think it's because of ADHD as well. I think I've wrote stuff. So I'm writing fast and my mind's going faster, and I'll write extra words down, like I'll write they. When I'm doing a G, I might write a Y, but I know I'm doing it as I'm doing it. So things like that, but it's minor, really minor things. But then if I read back my work, sometimes I haven't finished the sentence and I go, what does that mean? But I think that's more because I was doing assignments, and then I noticed that don't make sense. What was I trying to say? And then I have to read a few paragraph back and go, oh, that's what I meant to say.
So did it affect your course then?
No, because they gave me all the support I needed. And while you're waiting to be assessed, you can ask for a yellow sticker. And apply it even though you haven't actually been assessed, and you can say, I am waiting for an assessment. You put a little note, I'm waiting for an assessment, please accept the yellow sticker, I'm waiting for assessment for dyslexia, or whatever your learning thing was. And they were fantastic. The university was so supportive. I had student support, but because I was dyslexic, because I'd been diagnosed or assessed by then, that I could speak to the person who understood about dyslexia to help me with my assignment. So I do the work and they just sort of give you feedback when they read it and go, right, this is not there, and they see things that I'm not going to spot because I'm dyslexic. When they first assessed me and said that I've got ADHD, I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to work like in as a nurse. And you know, you sort of like, you go, oh my God,
does this mean for me?
Exactly. But then I was quite controlled, actually. Like, so when I'm in the office, I get so excited, but that might be because of COVID. Might be because it's a new job. It might be because I haven't seen anyone. I am bubbly, but I'm only bubbly if I know that, because I'm working with people with learning disability. Some people don't like high pitch, so I'm quite cautious. So I'm constantly thinking, make sure you tone it down, Andrea, tone it down. But I actually was quite surprised that I could be that patient, because at home I'm not.
Thank you for listening to Take a Moment with NCHC. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please visit the podcast intranet page to leave a comment and for details of our other episodes. You can also follow NCHC on all social media channels.